5. Then for tomorrow, mostly cloudy with showers and storms in the morning, possibly stretching into the afternoon hours. Tomorrow's high 85. Expanded forecast, hot and humid, slowly returns. Wednesday's high, another 85. Thursday's high, though, will be in the 90s, expecting a high Thursday of around 92. Cooling off a bit Friday with a high of 85. Shower and thunderstorms chances through the period, with the best chances coming up Thursday night and Friday. Right now, temperature reading of 68. I'm David Cole, WGTD News. The Morning Show with Gregory Berg is coming up.
Support for the Morning Show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. And we welcome you to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. Just a quick word about a change in our morning show schedule for this week. On Wednesday, we're going to be replaying my conversation from some years ago with singer Marnie Nixon, who had an amazing and varied career, but is best known for the dubbing that she did for major films like My Fair Lady, The King and I, and West Side Story. She passed away last week, and I want to replay my conversation with her on Wednesday's morning show. Please make a special note of that. The morning show is archived on our website, WGTD.org. And for this portion of WGTD's Morning Show, it's my pleasure to welcome back into our studios for his monthly visit to our program, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. And Brian Albrecht, it continues to be the case that summer is not time off for you or anybody in your inner circle here at Gateway. It's an incredibly busy and exciting time, isn't it?
Absolutely, Greg. You know, I always reflect on the important role that Gateway plays in our community. But boy, these last 2 weeks have really been a whirlwind for me on all of the great programs that are taking place, visiting all the way from the camps, from the youth initiatives that are taking place on campus, to our professional development of our own faculty, and the national outreach that Gateway provides to other colleges around the country. It's remarkable, and could not be more proud of our team, all the work that they do to prepare for these big events, but then most importantly, the quality of service they provide when our guests are on campus.
Fantastic. And of course, along with a lot of different things going on, there have also been a couple of things that have taken you slightly off campus and out of the community or out into the community, including your ongoing work with Racine United Way. Tell us about something that just happened
there.
Yeah,
thanks for bringing that up. You know, United Way is such an important element of our community. There's so many different ways that it serves not only the residents of our community, but also the mission of our college and the mission of many of the community-based organizations throughout the region. Before I get into Racine, I want to give just a big thank you to Tracy Nielsen, who is the executive director of the Kenosha United Way, who took a new position in Minnesota. So she'll be leaving our community, and she has been a great advocate and supporter of Gateway and the mission that we have here, the Readers Are Leaders initiatives, and getting our faculty and students involved in more community-based activities. So great credit to her leadership. We wish her well in the future. But today I want to just highlight a great partnership we have with Racine United Way. Racine is doing a terrific job and has really led the nation in building collaborative partnerships. Gateway's been involved for many years in the Racine United Way. This year I'm so fortunate to serve as the vice chair, and we'll be moving into a stronger leadership role next year. But as a part of that, 2 weeks ago I had a chance to be a part of the community rollout of their listening sessions. So they hold listening events all over town. 117 people participated, providing feedback for what the United Way could do better. And the reason I wanted to bring it to the attention of the community is because the most important element that they heard from the community was the importance of job preparation, so that candidates, we're ready for the jobs that are available in our community, and how do we really continue to focus on getting people family-supporting jobs so that they can build capacity within themselves and, of course, within their families. And such an important role for Gateway, so it was like a perfect fit for me in that discussion. I was able to talk a little bit about some of the unique programs that we have in the Racine community, like our boot camp training programs, but also on a bigger scale, just the impact that Gateway makes throughout our region, serving over 23,000 students annually, making sure that they have job skills with a, you know, 87% job placement rate, and really connecting our community with the services of Gateway so that we can assure that our graduates are preparing for the jobs that are available within our home district. So very proud of Racine's United Way for bringing that to an attention for
Excellent.
Our community.
Excellent. I know that in addition to running hither and yon through much of the summer, some of the school year for that matter too, that Gateway also often hosts important events, and there was a big one last week.
There was. We had 45 visitors here from colleges and states across the nation. They were participating in a program called Mapping Upward, which is a national initiative to bring colleges together to closer align industry credentialing with academic programming. So it's really helping building that map of mobility for students that graduate from our colleges and go directly into the workplace. So it's a pathway initiative. It focuses on early learning all the way through college-level experiences into postgraduate university-type level programs. But the goal is to really assure that what we develop in an educational arena is aligned very closely with what's happening in local economies. And we know very well in our local economies that it has changed, and the jobs of today are different than they were even 5 years ago. And we know it's going to change again. So the more conversations we have like this, the better off we are in preparing young people as they think about what opportunities are available right here in Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth counties. We want them to stay here, be educated here, and then have a great job and a great life here.
Absolutely. Before we introduce our very special guest, I know that there are things that are underway in terms of planning for a very busy fall, a new school year, including a number of open houses that we want to make sure people know about.
Right, and I've had a chance to visit many of them, and they're just really a lot of fun. I hope our community comes out to celebrate on those community-wide events that we have. We had open houses on all three campuses. Actually had more people participate in attending and more people signing up to go to Gateway as a result of this year's open house than in past years. So we hope that what we're doing is providing greater access for our community. What's unique about the open house is you get a chance to hear about some of the new programming. For example, our new gas meter technology program, which is quite unique. Demand is very high. You know, a lot of retrofitting taking place on homes, and gas meter technician industry is very strong. So that's a unique opportunity. Some of the cybersecurity programs that we offer in the IT field, brand new for a lot of people to really understand, you know, what's happening and how do they protect themselves and how could they get a job protecting others in that world. And then, of course, highlighting some of our more traditional programs, our culinary programs, our manufacturing programs, you know, our graphic communication programs, and really helping individuals find their unique interests and how does that align with a potential career in our community. And it's exciting. The open houses bring that visibility to it. And, of course, we have Rudy the Red Hawk there, so there's lots of things for the family to do, lots of free food on campus and balloon artists and so on. This year, we even brought in our brand new mobile training center, which is a truck that's been built out with great graphics and designs. Hope our community sees it driving around town. And inside the vehicle is portable training modules. So we can go to a school or a community center or to a business and actually bring the training right to them. And so those are some of the unique ways that we're reaching out into our community, all to help build awareness for the fall term. Registration is open right now. Classes are filling, so hopefully people are, you know, stopping down on campus to get registered or go online and check out some of the new programs that are out there. And we really want to make sure that what we do is in line with the interests of our community. So bring your ideas and bring your opportunities with you.
Great. So if people are interested in these open houses, I assume they can go to the Gateway website and find
right.
all that information.
Yeah, if they're just gtc.edu. There's lots of links on there that can be clicked on to give you more information. We actually have virtual tours on there. So if you're not familiar with some of the campus changes, you can go online and actually see physically what the campuses look like. And it'll actually give you a little short video clips on some of the new programming as well.
Very good. Well, today the topic before us is certification, and it's one of those dry terms that probably to the average layperson doesn't mean a whole lot, and yet it is one of the essential things that happens here at Gateway, and it's the energy that kind of runs the whole engine in some ways.
It is. You know, it's one of the things that we often never really talk about. I mean, you think about the types of jobs and careers that are out there. Your cosmetologist has to be recertified. Your law enforcement officers are recertified. Your firefighters are recertified. Mm. Your accountants are recertified. Teachers are recertified. And so there's this been this ongoing sort of pattern that you get a good skill, so you learn your competencies, get a job, and then once you get your job, that you're set for life. Not necessarily true, right? Most occupations have some type of certification process that goes along with it. And at Gateway, we not only expose students to the ongoing continued learning of certifications, but the embeddedness of certifications as you go through your education and training program. So you can graduate with an academic credential and an industry credential. That gives you the advantage of that first level job, but also helps make you a more wise consumer of certifications so that as you go through your career, you're picking up additional credentials, which expands your opportunities to increase your pay scale and job future.
So in other words, you understand from almost before you're out in the world, you start to understand the reality of certification.
Yes, they were never intended to be separate, but you know, over time, we really, in the educational world, have only talked about one side of the equation, and that's coursework aligned with degrees. Well, that degree really leads you to an occupation which requires you to be certified. And so we've got to bring that certification conversation back into the academic preparation so that there's a full picture of what it takes to continue to sustain the jobs that that people are going into.
Very good. So I know you are excited to have with you a special guest here in town, Roger Tadievsky, Executive Director for the National Coalition of Certification Centers. Is this the kind of visit that happens often?
Roger's the expert in this area, and he's been a good friend for a very long time, and we are so fortunate to have Roger a part of our Gateway team, even though he runs an independent organization. He is on campus often, helps align us with our industry partners to make sure that the credentialing that we're offering is directly aligned with the programming that's available here at the college. And I would just share with you that at Gateway alone, one of the colleges that he works with, we offer over 200 industry certifications. So
wow.
It's no small task.
Mm.
He's working literally with thousands of people and thousands of certifications, and he uses Gateway often as sort of an anchor point for these discussions.
Wow, very good. Well, we're really glad to have you here and part of the morning show. Welcome.
Great. Well, welcome. Glad to be here.
Maybe you could say a word first about maybe where you come from, a little bit about your own background, and then a little bit about the event that specifically brought you here to Gateway last week.
Great. Yeah. Well, actually, I live in Oklahoma now, but I grew up in northern Michigan. I'm a product of career and technical education. Spent some time in the materials research side, metallurgy side, with the oil field and gas industry, and then spent about 8 years doing the same for the aerospace industry on space shuttle, main engine, Delta, and rocket engines. And then in 1995, I actually came back over to the automotive side to begin to work on what we now call today workforce development. Back then it was called School to Work, and how truly industry and education not just talk about but actually do partner. How do we help with the schools? How does industry engage with teachers, professional development, and likewise, how does education engage with industry? As we know, for the last 20 years, technology, you know, we say, boy, it keeps on growing, and it continues to grow. But yet, what does that mean to the classroom? What does that mean to a Brian Albrecht that's running a college and has to make investments? And where should those investments be? And how does that align for students that start for 2 years and their job, you know, they're going through education, they want to be connected to industry when they come out, right? So you've got to be working on the current, but also every day preparing for the future, the student, the classroom, the facilities, the instructor, and, of course, the administration. So you're always in this piece every moment of this is what's got to happen now, but at the same time, is this moving us forward and preparing the community for that part?
Yeah, I think Roger describes it very well. And we actually had crossed paths many years ago with an organization called NOCTI, the National Occupational Competency Testing Institute, which is an exam that students would take to verify that they've earned competencies, and they get a certificate of achievement for that. Industry also has some similar certifications through NOCTI. One that we use extensively is the Manufacturing Skill Standards Council, MSSC, which is a part of the NOCTI network of certifications. And then our paths cross through SkillsUSA, which is the youth initiatives where students compete for competitions. And those exams, those NOCTI tests, are used by SkillsUSA to certify competencies as well. And, of course, most recently with Automotive Youth Initiatives, where Gateway's been a big supporter of Wisconsin's Automobile and Truck Dealers Association, and they provide training across the state for high school teachers in the automotive area. And, in fact, 3 weeks ago, we hosted all of the high school teachers on campus to upgrade their skill sets in the Automotive Youth Initiatives. So Roger cuts through many of those parallel paths, and over the last decade, it's really helped to shape this new organization called the National Coalition of Certification Centers.
Describe to us when that was established and exactly what its purpose was. What need was it primarily addressing?
Well, yes, you know, as Brian mentioned, with NOCTI and MSSC, and another one was ACTE.
That's correct.
That we crossed paths, and all very viable organizations that are doing the right things. But again, this technology piece, right? You know, we think about our iPhone and our Android phone, and you know, just less than 10 years ago is when the iPhone came out. Okay,
right.
And before that we had this great technology called pagers. Oh boy, right?
I forgot about those. Remember those things?
Yeah, right.
You know? It felt like the space age at the time.
But it
sure doesn't anymore.
So you know, one of the things that became very apparent, especially in 2007, 2008, was is that not only was technology changing the landscape, but changing it broader, quicker, faster for everybody. Hmm. And so part of that is that, you know, technical education institutions used to be able to put a curriculum together, design things, and it was good for about 5 years, and then they had time to react and do their planning. That has amplified the focus on that much quicker. Now, also at the same time, it costs money to do these programs, okay? And so one of the biggest needs that came from people like Brian and Dr. Lee Lambert, that's at Pima Community College in Tucson, Arizona, or Greg Hammond, that was here last week as well from Lynn Benton Community College. You know, 1,000 community college presidents are dealing with this every day. So the need for what became NC3 grew really out of that is we're all working on these things. We're all trying to reach that horizon. But isn't there a better way to do this faster, more productivity-wise, that we can collaborate on between colleges? So the National Coalition of Certification Centers was actually born right here at Gateway as an idea that then started to grab, and first with dialogue and discovery, and then, you know, what we like to say at NC3 is we don't write white papers, we engage in it, we make it happen. And so that is, and then of course industry was on the same thing. So that brought Snap-on Tool Corporation together, that was also on the industry side looking at how do we engage. They are solution providers to industry. They serve in a lot of critical industries, not only just automotive, but all of transportation, aviation, the oil field and gas industry, construction, et cetera. And they began to look at this too. And so it just was a natural thing of, boy, let's sit down and let's start to work together on these things, and let's put these pieces out there. And how do we have a focus on that instructor in a classroom at the end of the day is the one that's really engaging with the students, must stay up with the technology, but at the end of the day, they still have their normal responsibilities. They got to take attendance, they got to run their class, and they got to do all those other pieces, plus stay up with technology, get that into the curriculum, and engage the students, make this meaningful. We were all in school, and we remembered our teachers that really engaged us, whether it was in a history class, math class, or automotive class, that made us want to come to school. And that's what we had to grab that, and NC3 grew out of that. And now, you know, we have over 400-plus schools engaged across the country. We'll get into this a little bit here more. I'd like to share about the number of certifications. But last year we issued almost 30,000. To date, we've issued over 60,000 certifications. And, again, it was this collaboration of industry and education coming together with that big-picture focus. What do we got to do today? But more importantly, what do we got to do tomorrow to help drive that big picture?
Right.
Yeah, I am so proud that Gateway can be a part of this story. I mean, it initiated I wouldn't say solely here, but boy, you know, our partnerships with our businesses to help us provide opportunities and be a catalyst for change across the nation. To have that many schools now, you know, came to visit our campuses, and we've got visitors here all the time taking a look at how we're establishing these relationships. And so we're really proud of our past involvement, and really look forward to growing in the future with NC3.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to the various schools that have come together mm-hmm. around this and comprise this coalition, of course, we're also talking about very significant, essential partners from industry.
Mm-hmm.
Explain the nature of that partnership, what they contribute to this, and what they get out of it. What, in what way is this a benefit for them and worth their time and their resources?
Right. Well, you know, we are just, we have some phenomenal organizations. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of organizations out there, but the organizations that are partnering and new ones that are coming on, these are not only organizations that are engaged in the industry and in the corporations of, you know, the activities of the free marketplace every day, but they are also technology developers. These are also organizations that are looking forward and saying, what are the solutions? What are the what are the questions that need to be asked that haven't been asked yet? And when they do get asked, or the challenge becomes, how do we start to think through those answers? Okay, so they're technology developers. So Snap-on Tool Corporation truly is a technology developer looking forward down the road in the area of diagnostics and assembly procedures and so forth. Okay, you think of a corporation like Sterrett Corporation. It's a 123-year-old organization that globally really put the standards that we follow across the globe today for measurement standards. Okay, and so Ingersoll Rand Train that looks at building automation systems. How can our existing buildings and new buildings become much more energy efficient? And how does that help, A, the environment, their cost, okay, the people that install that equipment, but then the skill sets that go along with that, okay? You have a new corporation that just joined NC3, Dremel, that's on the additive manufacturing side. So this is a big piece that's coming. It's here now. But in the next 5 years, the landscape of manufacturing will evolve into something that's kind of like the iPhone. We're still going to have CNC machining. We're still going to have those traditional areas. They're going to look a lot different. But the opportunities for young people in these areas are going to be huge. Fiat Chrysler Automobiles is, when you look at, stand back and look, they made an announcement about 2 months ago about autonomous driving. They're going to be working directly with Google on self-driving cars. And so, you know, Brian will become much even more effective, you know, so that when he leaves the campus, he all he's going to have to do is get the car and plug in his, and he's just going to say to Siri, I need to go see Greg here, and the car's going to take him there.
I love that idea.
Okay. that's tremendous technology. And then, so we stand back and we look at that and we go, wow, the people that are assembling that, commissioning that, maintaining that are going to have legacy skill sets, but they're going to have new skill sets. And these are exciting times. You know, I firmly believe, so for these companies, they need to hire people, okay? You know, we got to remember for the next 16 years, 10,000 people a day are retiring. So today, 10,000 people are going to retire.
Wow.
And that's every day, including weekends, holidays, and so forth, are going to retire. And so the opportunity for young people to come into great jobs with these skill sets are just phenomenal out there. And for the next 20 years, this is where it's going to be at and how they engage with industry. So what industry looks at this from is, yes, there's a component of people that they want to hire. They need to. But in the broader picture, these companies also, a Fiat Chrysler is interested in how can they help educate every student in that classroom. Whether they come to work at Fiat Chrysler is not, we don't sit down and figure out, well, we got to make sure we get these many people or the deal doesn't work. That's not the conversation. The conversation is how do we get all these young people skilled up so wherever they go to work, that they can grow the communities. Same thing with Snap-on. Same thing with Ingersoll Rand. Sterrett Corporation, at the end of the day, they sell calipers and micrometers and so forth, but we're working actually right here, Brian, as you know, with a little pilot project. How do we even reach down to the fifth and sixth grade math teacher to help them engage in those math skills wherever those students go in their lives, whether they become doctors, lawyers, technicians, so forth. Those core math skills are so important. So the companies are truly embraced in this in the communities across America and these community colleges, and then that cascading effect that goes into the high schools, middle schools, and so forth.
Yeah, Roger, I think you've really described it well. You think about the changes in the types of job skills that are necessary. It's absolutely essential that schools at all levels, but especially at our level in the technical training area, are hand in glove with our business partners, because mm-hmm. those changes that you describe, we don't necessarily know about that
right.
much in the schools, and we got to bring that ideas to it. So mm-hmm. I look at it as a couple of components that are beneficial for business. One is supply chain development. So just as they're doing supply chain development for their product, mm-hmm. they're also able to now do supply chain development for their employees. So they're helping to establish that network of great employees. Leadership in education is another key one. There's mm-hmm. often a little criticism about the differences between industry and education. There doesn't have to be a difference, right? We can integrate these, and they can help us provide mm-hmm. leadership in that component so that colleges like ours and schools meet the expectations of industry so that we can close that gap of communications about what's necessary for the skills that are in there. And then the last one is continued focus on this global competitiveness, this brand identity. You know, working with great companies like mm-hmm. that helps Gateway, because now I can say that Gateway's a partner with Ingersoll Rand or with Steyr Corporation or with Dremel Corporation or Snap-on or Train and SC Johnson, and we love to leverage that name brand, right? But all of those companies I mentioned are also in competition. So they want to help build their brand in the talent pipeline so that employees and technicians in the field think about Snap-on tools when they go into their professional career. And, you know, when someone's replacing a boiler or chiller, they think about Train Corporation. So it's that shared collaborative effort around that identity of brand.
Mm-hmm. For those of you just joining us, this is Brian Albrecht's monthly visit to the morning show, and our special guest along with him today is Roger Tadayevsky, who is Executive Director of the National Coalition of Certification Centers, and we're finding out about the important work that they do to help streamline and coordinate and make more consistent amongst various schools the whole process of certification, which happens hundreds and thousands of times over and over and over. I want to make sure we don't run out of time to really cover some important things, including a term that I think is especially interesting called stackable credentials. We've talked about this before. It's a fascinating concept and one worth talking about. What are stackable credentials and how do they fold into what we're talking about?
Well, as we've been talking, you know, the important piece for colleges and instructors and most importantly for students is you know, students come into programs with some basic knowledge. You know, I would like to be an automotive technician, or I'd like to be an industrial maintenance or aviation technology. Okay. Now, as we all know through life, we can tell our stories as we started here, we kind of moved here, we're here, but that's called a career path. That's called life, and it's all great things. It's great opportunity that's here in the United States for these young kids. So when you think about stackable credentials, if we learn about electrical and electrical measurement and automotive technology, but as we go through that, we decide, you know, I'd really like to be more on the IT side of things or industrial mm-hmm. maintenance. A student shouldn't have to go back and restart with electrical over here, industrial maintenance. 12 volts is 12 volts. 110 volts is 110 volts, right? So when they have that credential that's being delivered over here cuts across these industries. And so they can then go pick up another credential that builds on industrial electrical controls, which will build stack on top of that. Or if they stay within, say, the automotive track, then they may go to advanced electronics. It stacks on top of that baseline, okay? You know, even the soft skills about repair orders, you know, fundamentals of communication, how you communicate with a customer. Well, whether that customer is with Ingersoll Rand Train, or if it's with the auto industry, or if it's in construction, those stackable credentials, and likewise, the instructors that are in these programs also now have a level to communicate between, say, pre-engineering and aviation technology, industrial maintenance. Now we have instructors that, instead of having to rewrite curriculum differently in each one, they can share, and that gives them more time then to teach the new technologies.
Yeah, for me, it's like it answers that question, where will I ever use this? Because it shows the competency level and how it cuts across many different industry sectors. Mm. And when I try to explain their career pathways to young people. You know, many people can understand a laddering approach. You take one step, and then you rise to the next step, and you climb a ladder.
Hmm.
Unrealistic, because very few careers work that way.
Right.
It's more like climbing a tree, right? When you climb a tree, you reach for the next branch that's going to support you. Sometimes it's actually a branch that's below you.
Hmm.
But you've got to reach around and grab it, and then you look for the next branch. So you're all over the place, but you're always trying to get higher up the tree, basically.
Right, and, but there's not the symmetry of rungs
exactly.
of a ladder.
That's right.
You know, and the cool part about that analogy is that oftentimes we forget about the strength of the tree, the roots, right? So there's another tree under the tree. That would be the roots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your support network. Those are all of the employability skills, all the business partnerships, your networking, all the things that these partnerships can bring to the table for students to make them better prepared for whatever pathway they choose in the future.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So are stackable credentials, in a sense, the new norm? And is it something that is part of everybody's credentialing process?
Yes, I stand back, and to that question, I kind of look at it and almost stand back a little bit further to put everything in focus. You know, historically, you know, we've put a resume together of our experiences, right? Of we started here, we worked here. Here's some of our attributes and our accomplishments in these positions and so forth. That's still going to be part of the big picture resume going forward. But the other part that's going to be coming into that is from a credentialing is I've gone and I've learned this in day one. I can perform this. I know how to measure. Okay. I know how to do this. And I've been certified to do that. So along with that work experience, the graduation coming from Gateway, for example, I've got a 2-year associate degree in automotive technology. But I also have these 40 areas of certifications that I am proficient in.
Hmm.
Now, as Brian mentioned at the very early, he wants students to be able to stay here and grow and build the economy here. But, you know, at the same time, an employer here may have someone that is hired that comes from somewhere else. And what does that credential then mean? So NC3 is bringing that national piece to it. So a student coming from California that comes to Kenosha that moves here, and that employer looks at it and says, oh, you've got an NC3 credential in this, and you're coming from San Diego or from Utah or wherever it might be. Now they know that, again, this collaboration of colleges, delivering and working directly with industry, helps drive that. Because one other point I'd like to make is on this economy piece is we talked about Fiat, Chrysler, Snap-on. These are big corporations. But underneath each one of them, Brian touched us on the supply chain. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of small, medium-sized companies in Kenosha, in Racine, that, you know, they may only have 10, 15. They want to ascend, too. They want to grow. Where are they going to get employees from? And they can't afford to drive a training department and these other things. So Gateway becomes another piece that goes, wow, you've learned on Fiat Chrysler technology. You've learned from Sterrett. And now every one of those students are exposed to that, to where a small and medium-sized company that wants that high-caliber knowledge of a young person that comes in and says, yeah, I know, I've learned from there, because their goal in their supply chain is how do they get networked into that supply chain, and vice versa. Fiat Chrysler, Sterrett, Ingersoll Rand, they want to work with these small companies. And when these small companies can say, hey, we're working with Gateway Technical College, and we're engaged in these things, they now know that those small suppliers can grow, and that level of knowledge, that workforce, that upskilling is happening.
Mm. Yeah, this, you know, I met with a group of actually Boy Scouts around campus a couple of weeks ago, and I was trying to explain this whole idea of credentialing. So I tried to relate it to what they were interested in, scouting. So in scouting, you earn skills and you get a badge. And when you earn so many badges and you're able to demonstrate that in many different ways, like a stackable credential, you become different, you get different ranks. So if you're an Eagle Scout, that's your title, but you have a series of credentials that have all been stacked up based on your life experiences. Similar today, if you were an automotive technician, you might be called an ASC certified technician, but you have a series of badges or credentials underneath there, up near 40 different Snap-on certifications that you could build or create.
That got you there.
Right, that got you there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how you build your credentials and how those are validated by another entity. In this case, it's industry. In scouting, it would be the scouts. But it really helps to round out your story about how you got to the level you did in your profession.
Right.
One quick piece I'd like to add to that, too, is how industries are working together. So, for example, Snap-on Tool Corporation works with us a lot on electrical measurement. But the certification modules, say, with Ingersoll Rand or Fiat Chrysler, are around electrical diagnostics. So even not only do the certifications stack, but they stack with different corporations. So when a student takes an electrical diagnostic module through Fiat Chrysler, it directly aligns both ways with the certification that Snap-on's helped with electrical measurement. So this matrix, this worldwide web of career and technical education is not only, it's been around, but it is now blossoming and has got a new foothold that is partnering with education and the ability to amplify, and with industry and education as key enablers out there, is truly driving a whole new landscape.
Wow. And I suppose, getting back to the colleges, that they benefit from this in all kinds of different ways. And one of the ways is they probably end up being needed more and get to expand their offerings to be part of this.
Absolutely. You know, we our focus for NC3, our key focus is that instructor and what happens in that classroom. But we are working with hundreds of colleges across the country, to your point, that they know they have to upgrade their facilities. And so how can we leverage the knowledge that with Brian has been on some benchmarking trips with me to other parts of the country that have helped close that gap very quickly about how do we upgrade this and what do we learn from there? And, you know, it's not always bad to skin your knees, and what you can learn from that and share that with others. So the ability now for colleges that used to take, remember I said it take them 3 or 4 years to ramp up on a technology, we're down to sometimes right around 6 to 8 months that now instructors, facilities, leadership can learn from other colleges with that industry and literally update their program in a year and have that ready to go going forward. So that's a tremendous impact on facilities, equipment, what imaging, okay? We're doing a lot tremendously about on imaging, and industry is a big part of that.
You know, last week we hosted the NC3 Leadership Summit along with the NC3 Instructor Training Program called Train the Trainer. And maybe, Roger, you could just describe a little bit the success that we saw last week and then what the uniqueness is between the Leadership Summit and the actual instructor training, because both of those elements, I think, add to this whole mix of what types of resources colleges are looking for to expand their programs.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brian. So last week we had a little over 124 college presidents, key presidents from industry at Gateway Technical College on what we call our NC3 leadership conferences that really focuses on us what are the key things in technology happen today, and more importantly, what's happening, and then what happens to implement that. But parallel to that, these college presidents come in industry, and we had well over, I think, 120, 130 instructors that are actually going through the training and the hands-on assessment. So these college presidents also walked in, some for their own, got to see their own instructors going through training.
Whoa.
Which is new. So it brings that piece real to life, and for industry to actually walk in. You know, Fiat Chrysler walked in, and they got to see young trainers across the country going through their modules. Same thing with Sterrett, especially in some of these new advanced. Dremel Corporation was here with new 3D printing, which they are going to be engaging, and they got to see the first ever of its kind training going on in the country, happening right here. So not only does it bring what's happening and what needs to happen, but additionally, what happens is that they must be calling in right now
for more information.
That was very good.
I don't know how to shut it off. Sorry.
So I think one of the unique things about that experience is typically when an organization has a meeting. So I would go visit a program. I would talk just about one program. At the Train the Trainer and Leadership Summit, college presidents and industry partners get to see all of these different areas of training going on at the same time with the same focused mission of industry certifications and how they can cross between different departments and disciplines.
Absolutely. Yep.
Sorry about that. For those of you just joining us, we're speaking with Brian Albrecht for his monthly visit to the morning show. And with him today, Roger Tadayevsky, Executive Director of the National Coalition of Certification Centers, talking about this whole matter of certification and the way in which it can be. I assume once upon a time this was done a bit more sort of piecemeal. And what we're talking about is trying to create a system in which there are certain benchmarks understood, in a sense, all across the country and even across different industries. And,
exactly.
And it fosters just a much deeper understanding about how everything operates.
Yeah, you know, 5 years ago, I would say that, you know, if we had said, well, can we get Fiat Chrysler and Ingersoll Rand to both work together on education in these in the new technology areas, everybody would have said, well, why would an automaker want to work with an air conditioning company, right? If you look at that, there's some, but the reality is they are great partners because of the new technologies that are out there. So so yes, it is a not just a new platform, but now a platform that has been well established and now is continuing to grow. So the other thing I'd like to, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but we also had some new partners last week that came and visited and to come and see. So we had people from the IT industry, people from IBM were here to come and see what's going on because they need technicians in the new area of cloud computing, right? Mm. And what is that in those pieces? So as well as mechatronics. So we had companies here that are in advanced manufacturing processes and procedures and what happens with all the robotics and so forth. So we had some great companies visiting going, this is the same kind of relationship we need to start to establish going forward.
Right. Mm-hmm. So how do we measure the results of this in terms of just how successful these kind of undertakings are, how the tangible results and success?
Yeah. Well, so to date, we've got over 1,400 instructors that have gone through our train-the-trainer that are now delivering certifications back in their programs. A little over 400, I think it's 435 schools that are delivering certifications. We have passed the threshold of a little over 60,000 certifications delivered. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side is the number of students that are going out and getting hired by companies because now they have these skill sets in the automotive industry, the aviation industry, and new types of internships that are being developed. So Train has done some very innovative pieces on bringing some of these techs in, but also starting to look at them as how do they grow them into their even to their engineering. So it's another, as Brian mentioned earlier, the pathway to engineering is not necessarily always that stepladder going steps. You know, these are students that started out in career and technology and now are heading into engineering, heading into business management. One of the announcements that Fiat Chrysler made last week is through working through their dealers that they are going to help a student that goes into their dealership, the ability for that student to go out and get a four-year degree with Strayer corporate education. So even though that student starts out as a technician, the ability for them to get a four-year degree in, say, business management or in accounting or something and grow that opportunity and Fiat Chrysler and that participating dealer are actually going to help fund that education. So these are some not just as Nick Pinchuk from Chairman from Snap-on would say, these are not just support, you know, we support this or endorse this, but they actually support it. This is long-term visioning and long-term engagement.
They make it happen.
They make it happen.
You know, I think, you know, when we measured at the college, it's our job placement rate. The students are engaged in their profession. The employers are giving us great acknowledgments of their satisfaction of the candidates coming through. Our programs are highly engaging with our community in many different ways. And our faculty are motivated to continue to learn. And if we can continue to provide programs that are cutting-edge, state-of-the-art, in alignment with the needs of the industry, I mean, that really hits to the mission of Gateway Technical College and other colleges like us around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd just like to touch on that from an enrollment standpoint for colleges. I was two locations. I was just in Knoxville, Tennessee. So James King, the director for the state of Tennessee, the students graduating in Knoxville, there's basically three jobs right now for every student that's graduating out of this program. But at the same time, now their enrollment is growing. Okay, I was with Dr. Steve Head down at Lone Star Community College 2 weeks ago. Their enrollment is up 8%. You know, so when we think about HVAC and building automation and system controls, they're moving from 400 students in that program to almost 600 that are already enrolled for the fall. So the word is out that these are the type of programs that They're credible. They're rigorous. You have to pass these certifications, but at the end, industry is there ready to engage.
Yeah. How do you decide what areas require this kind of attention, this kind of level of training, require this kind of certification, or is that reality just sort of out there and you just recognize it, or are there choices that you and your colleagues end up having to make?
Well, we really have two big feedback channels. One is Brian. He hears from his local industry, whether it's at his own board meetings or out with the industry through industry meetings, whether that could be any of the community functions that are going on, that here's some new technologies, here's some things that we need. And so we take what we hear from Brian and our other board members from across the country. So this is an area like an IT, for example, the construction trades areas. Hydraulics and pneumatics is a big area. Again, on that manufacturing that they're going, we need this next level of skill sets. So that's a feedback channel. That comes in, and then, of course, with our industry partners, and like I said last week, IBM was here because they had heard about what we're doing through other channels, and they said, here's a challenge. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. IBM, and same with Fiat Chrysler, they know they're not in the education business. They're in the technology business. So let's partner with the best that are in the technology business, and that is the career and technology programs and institutions like Gateway Technical College, across the country. I like to say, now within NC3, we have 400-plus of the most leading technical education institutions in the world that are helping engage with industry and vice versa. Hmm.
Do you anticipate an expansion in the number of certifications that will ultimately be offered?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a list that Brian gave me last week, and he's probably going to give me another list here today of what I need to be working on.
Well, there's just such a great need out there, and I think if you take a look at all of the unique programs just at our college alone, 65 associate degrees, 100 diploma and certificate programs. So there are unique opportunities in many different industry sectors, and Roger's very kind. It's not just Brian. We should make that very clear. He has a board of directors made up of college presidents and industry partners. I think the key is to be an effective listener, to listen to what's happening in industry, what their needs are, and how can you begin to bridge academic programming to align with that. And if you can find that bridge, then you can build that whole opportunity sequence for students. Academic learning, industry expectations, and certifications really help bring that conversation together.
So the other next big expansion actually is going to happen in November. We're already well into it and planning, but we will have an Aviation Aerospace Summit that'll be hosted in Wichita, Kansas, November 8th and 9th, where we'll bring some of the top aviation manufacturing schools that teach that from around the country. Brian will be in attendance of that. And then we'll have key aviation companies that will be there. And we'll be piloting some new areas around assembly, which includes precision hole drilling, some of this precision measurement, along with some new things on composites and cabling and those areas. But we'll also start to sit down to your earlier question is that will also help to draft what are the next 20 or 30 areas that need to be developed, probably around, again, hydraulics, pneumatics, some electrical wiring harness areas that are involved with the new Boeing 787 Dreamliner, the Airbus areas. So that'll be a focal point for 2 days in Wichita, Kansas, hosted at Wichita Area Technical College. Sherry Utash, the president of that college, was here last week, actually did a presentation on this to other school presidents from across the country. So that has driven that next level of, aha, can I come? I need to do this. Here's what I'm hearing at the local level. How do I be part of that? So that's going to drive the next big picture.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really amazing because if you just take a simple explanation, like Roger said, electrical trades, most people can visualize electricians working on houses. You can expand that to saying, okay, they work on big buildings, sky rises, or shopping malls, or manufacturing centers. But did you know electricians also build airplanes? They also build cruise ships. You know, all of that has to be done, right? And so you've got to really just really open your mind and think about how can you leverage an opportunity for someone that's interested in electronics, electrical trades, to be working in industries that they never thought of before, like aviation and aerospace.
Absolutely. The interconnections are just amazing and invisible to most of
us and
far from apparent. Mm-hmm. Well, we are completely out of time, gentlemen, but what a fun conversation this has been about something really, really important. Roger Tadayevsky, Executive Director of the National Coalition of Certification Centers. I'm glad that you could fit this visit into your busy schedule as you visit Gateway once again. And it was great to meet you, and I hope we get to have a conversation again sometime.
Oh, good. Thank you, and look forward to it.
Very, very good. And President Brian Albrecht, great to have you here as well.
Thanks,
you so
Greg.
Much.
Appreciate it.
I'm Gregory Berg.